Oh my goodness.
Okay, so I'm just going to do a bit of an introduction for it.
I'm here today with the wonderful Val Fisher. So Val has had an extensive career in the city and she's done some wonderful things. So I just really wanted to have a conversation with you about your life.
Thanks, Tara.
So we'll start at the beginning. Tell me about what made you want to come to the UK?
Well, I would probably say it's kind of accidental I'm here, because when I was growing up, it never occurred to me that I would come to England. I was born in Grenada, as you know. My parents, as they do, my father wanted me to be an air hostess, and my mum wanted me to be a teacher. But when I left school, I did my O-levels and A-levels in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of undecided. But what I did was to work as a pharmacist assistant. Then I began to think about health. I began to think of caring for people. So my friend came to England and she sort of wrote to me. And she says, "Val, what are you doing? Have you decided what you're going to do?" And she says, "Why don't you come to England?" So she sent me the names of a few hospitals. I applied, I accepted, and that's when I came here, or how I got to be here.
How did you come?
Oh, I came by plane, by an aeroplane.
Okay.
Yes. Landed in Heathrow.
Yes.
And
there's this whole misconception that everybody came over and they were all on the Windrush boat.
This is it. So. No. I came by an aeroplane, landed in Heathrow.
Uh-huh.
And my goodness, it was in June of that particular year when I came. I was kind of pleasantly surprised in that there was a chill in the air that I would imagine I felt lost. And although arrangements, I think, had been made by the hospital to collect me from the airport, I really didn't know how, where, and when. But I met someone from Barbados who asked me, kind of like, how long have you been here? What are you doing here? And this gentleman took me to Mount Vernon Hospital in Northwood, Middlesex.
Oh, that's nice.
That's it.
That's nice. And how old were you then?
I was 25, believe it or not. 25, yes.
Gosh, yeah. So you came as an adult?
For me, I am so very pleased that I spent my childhood in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I think you do know that I've got a son.
Mm-hmm.
And from time to time, I'm just thinking there is something that is missing. Mm. Although I have taken him back to the Caribbean several times, something about his roots.
Mm.
I'm pleased. Also, because many children who've gone to school here, who have met some colleagues or so, they have said to me the experiences they've had in the school system. And therefore, I'm so, so very pleased that I'd finished my school in there.
Yeah. Coming from that environment and then coming into England and, for want of a better word or way of wanting to explain it, being treated as, in some ways, less than. How did that make you feel?
Tara? You know, some of these sort of experiences that many Black people have related and share with me, I have not experienced quite so much That's what I'm wanting to say to you. Because I came to the hospital, I trained, and I was sort of cocooned. I'm not saying whatever it is. Then I met my husband, got married, came to, lived in London, came to Leicester, et cetera, et cetera. So I've not been, I'm not saying that I've been sheltered. I do know that racism exists. I do know that there are people who have been disadvantaged. I do know of all these sorts of things. So even so, I haven't had to live, and I'm sharing this with you, in a small little room or something like some of the experiences that some of the people had. Do you know what I mean, darling? Yeah. But I'm aware that all these things happen. I'm aware as an individual and who I am that I need to help my own people.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Does that make sense? And I, you know, and sometimes I get very emotional because even when I was at the in the project and I got grants, and in those days, there was saying how many Asian people, how many this sort of like this sort of things. Like, of course, I used it. But when the money came, it was for the African Caribbean people.
That's what I did.
I'm not saying I didn't help them, but then I used some of the resources that I got for my own people.
Honestly, that's
anyhow, but that's, and I'll do it again and again and again and again if I can and when I can. That's where I'm coming from. That's me as an individual.
Definitely.
You know, that's...
How did you get to Leicester?
Well, like probably some women do, I would say that I fell in love with someone. With someone from Grenada.
You're from Grenada as well.
I am, yes. So I met him, we got married in London, and he came to work for the education department. I came with him, obviously, to Leicester, and that's how I got here.
Okay. So from there, so when you came into Leicester, you were still nursing?
Yes, I got a transfer because I began to do my psychiatric nursing. I did general nursing in London, and then I began to do my psychiatric nursing. There was something, again, that happened there. There was someone who was admitted, and I just felt if that person had the support within the community, she would not have been readmitted to hospital. So what it just clicked. I gave up my psychiatric training and then sort of went on to do a social work, community work development course. Since then, of course, I've done sort of university courses and I have acquired a degree, but that's kind of, but, and I've done lots of other stuff.
You've had quite an extensive working career. What would you say was your biggest achievement?
I developed a social enterprise project called Children and Parents Alliance, known as CAPTA. I had the idea that working with parents, working with communities would be what I want to do. So I developed this project and ran it as one of the Sure Start centers in Leicester. Obviously, because of what I did, I sort of was recognized for the sort of initiatives I was taken. So I worked on boards for social services and then also for the education department. I also got involved in the local cultural development, like the carnival. And what else did I do?
I want to know more about CAPTA because you've literally just breezed over. And as I say, this was an organisation that I remember seeing a lot about, but not knowing well, not trying to, not, I didn't know what it meant.
CAPTA was a parent insurance centre,
mm-hmm.
and I ran it similarly to Sure Start centres, although Sure Start centres were run by the city council, the local authority. I was able, because of it was my, I was not dependent on the local authority to tell me, put it that way, what activities I should run.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I always felt that I wanted to give space for the community, to the community, to develop
mm-hmm.
themselves. That was because in those days, if there were Black women around who were finding it difficult
mm.
to even pay for nurseries
mm.
for their children, what I did, because I was in a position to acquire funding, I was able to supplement some of their the childcare mm-hmm. on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran a flexible service. So unlike some nurseries as well, which was kind of, I think, sort of 8 till 6, there were times that I will open and I myself would go in to enable a parent to go to work. I did these sort of things
mm-hmm.
because I knew that they needed this kind of support.
Yeah. So when did it shut?
About 5 years ago. Although I still, between you and I still have some equipment and so in the garage next to it, sort of carnival costumes and things mm-hmm. like that. So.
And what was the link between carnival and, because you've mentioned that a lot. What can we learn from that as kind of moving forward with the carnival now?
Carnival is a vehicle to educate the host community about cultural development and activities in the Caribbean,
mm.
to also help children and people who were born here to realize the importance of celebrating their cultural heritage and activities. For me, when I did carnival sort of activities and produced costumes, of course, with people, in fact, through the carnival, because of the nature of how the costumes were made, many of the people who came to the workshops developed skills in wire bending and all sorts of structures mm-hmm. because there was someone from Leeds who came down, and that's how we'd run the yeah. workshops.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I would do workshops and giving them sort of information about slavery, why we're celebrating this. Mm-hmm. So it's a learning and yeah. educational activity.
Yeah.
This, I feel, should continue
mm.
because I think there are quite a lot of people who don't realize the sort of experiences that Black people has sort of endured.
Mm.
And as we keep carnival going and we keep sort of educating people, hopefully at the end of the day, there will be what I would call more sort of respect and acceptance.
Yes.
It's really about these people could be disadvantaged mm-hmm. and things like that, you see. And, you know, like I talked about people not being given opportunities. So I was in a position or felt that I wanted to enable people to achieve and to gain skills.
So you're talking about all the workshops and building people's careers so they can be sustainable mm-hmm. in the future. So what did these workshops look like? What were you teaching them? Who were you bringing in? Why was, you know, how did you get the idea? It's not, you know, how I'm seeing it, you know, This is groundbreaking stuff.
Yep.
Because there was, I don't know. I mean, I'm younger, but I, to my knowledge, where did you get the ideas to do this from?
I had a vision about people who are classed as disadvantaged people could achieve, but really they have not been able, they have not been given the opportunity, they have not got the skills. So I was enabling them to acquire skills. In fact, I also sponsored a few parents to go to Leicester College. And when I sort of identified any particular sort of skilled or any that anyone had, I wanted to help them promote it. What I hadn't said to you is that in addition to the center that I ran like a show start center, in a way, because of the activities that were promoting sort of things like computer classes, sewing classes was something else that I did. But the thing about the sewing classes is it was about gaining skills, but at that time they were recruiting in factories people who they needed to have skills in. So I did all these sorts of things, activities at the center. In the nursery, I always encouraged parents to be with their children because I think it was so important for them to be bonding and learning together as well.
I love that. I just love that. And I love that, you know, we have spoken before and I've called you an activist and you corrected me and said, no, I'm an entrepreneur. and I think that is very, very correct. And it's very beautiful that it was a woman in charge of that. And I'm sure you had a lot of backlash at that time. Being a woman, being a black woman from the Caribbean, coming out and saying, I'm going to do this because I feel there's a need. What kind of backlash did you get?
In fact, when I was running the center, and I've got a smile now. So someone would phone up and ask to speak to Mrs. Fisher, and arrangements would be made to speak to Mrs. Fisher. And they would arrive at the center and, you know, they would be sent upstairs because my office was upstairs, although it was an open door office because that's how I operated and managed the center. What actually, and as a black woman, so I would say, you've come to see Mrs. Fisher? Come in. Said, I'm looking for Mrs. Fisher. Because really, they was probably expecting somebody who is white and somebody, you know, not black like I am.
And what did you do? Did you find that a lot? And if so, what did you do to counteract that?
For me, because I believed in what I was doing, because I was helping the community, I felt that I needed to educate them and sort of, you know, the people, this sort of backlash, people to show them really what black people are capable of. And the fact is, so to me, it was about educating them.
This October 31st, Opal 22 is bringing you an event like no other with the Black Star Mystery, a murder mystery and fine dining experience taking place on a moving steam train. As you travel through Leicestershire's countryside, uncover clues and indulge in a night where theatrics meets fun, surrounded by figures inspired by icons of Black Britain. Will you be able to figure out who they are, or more importantly, who did it? Head to opal22.co.uk and secure your tickets now.
And for me, as somebody kind of, I'm not so young anymore.
No, it's okay, right.
Moving forward, you know. I see some wonderful women that have come before me, you know, and I highlight you guys so much because I know that you've paved the way for us as individuals to be able to do the things that we do. What was it like to be a young woman in Leicester that has something about you? You know, you're moving forward. You know, you're doing things for the right reasons. What was
Taro, I think there was something about my roots and something and the way that I've been brought up that gave me the energy and determination. Of course, I sought help from people that I knew, like you've mentioned, Mrs. Morton. And I just felt that I could do anything that I wanted to do, because I had the ability and vision, and I just met and spoke to professionals on there as equals, but also sharing with them my vision.
And if you told them what you wanted.
Yes, but these sorts of initiatives, I think about it, it's visionary, and it's always difficult to say why it's visionary. I just like to help people and to see people develop. You see, the thing, you know, Tara, do you know, because I developed that center and I did lots and lots of people learn again, but I don't think I have done, I don't feel that it is something that I am worthy of being recommended for. Do you understand? This is, I did it because I'm able to do it. Yes. I did it because...
There's lots of people able to do it and don't.
It's because they haven't got the confidence and the kind of probably proud...
Because you.
No. Because I feel, you see, if I have an idea or if I want something, I can go and speak to anyone about it or acquire it. And I think it's because some people do not have, I'm going to use the word confidence. I just think I'm free, regardless of how people want to talk about, you know, I am free as an individual to do and approach people as I feel. I wouldn't think that I'm black and I shouldn't do it. I'm me with black skin. It's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, it's not my problem.
So a kind of a different question now, just as what we were talking about. Where is home for you now?
My goodness, what a question. What a question. At the moment, I live in Leicester. Mm-hmm. I have got a social network. I like some of the stuff. I don't want to say stuff. I like going to the theatre and so. But do you know, I still feel Grenada is my home because I can tomorrow jump in a plane, so to speak, mm-hmm. and go back to Grenada and feel at home. So I don't know if there is, people say that there's sort of, you've got two homes. At the moment, I'm living here. I feel I've got sort of more contributions that I can make mm-hmm. To general sort of community life. And... So that's where I am at this point in time.
So before we come to the end, is there anything that you would like to say about your life? You know, if this was a, this is your life, Val Fisher, what would you want to tell people about who you are?
To me, how I see myself, I am a very proud, and I'm using that word, black woman who was born in the Caribbean. And I am pleased that I have had that sort of education that enabled me to help other people, in particular, people from my own culture, black people. And I hope to continue to do that.
Thank you so much, Val. This has been such a brilliant conversation. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for having us in your home.
Oh, not at all, Tara. And anytime you wish me to do anything to support your organization, because I do believe you're doing very, very, very good work.
We do try. We try our best. So thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this week's episode of Voices That Raised a City, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. You can catch more inspiring conversations like these and all other seasons of our Flashback podcast series over on our YouTube channel. And to stay up to date with our latest events, exhibitions, and community projects, visit opal22.com or follow us on social media through the links in the description.
Anyhow, that's me in a nutshell.